In testimony before Congress in February, President Obama's Director of National Intelligence, Admiral Dennis Blair, made a startling admission. He declared before the House Intelligence Committee that the president reserves the right to have the CIA carry out assassinations against U.S. citizens who are engaged in terrorist activity. He said, "We take direct actions against terrorists in the intelligence community. If we think that direct action will involve killing an American, we get specific permission to do that." Blair went on to say that Americans would not be assassinated overseas for criticizing the government, but are subject to assassination only when the government decides they are a threat. Although his name wasn't mentioned, Blair's statements were presumed to be referring to radical Muslim cleric Anwar al-Awlaki, a U.S. citizen born in New Mexico. Mr. al-Awlaki, now believed to be hiding in Yemen, is said by government officials to be linked to two recent acts of terrorism: the November shooting of 13 people at Fort Hood, Texas, by U.S. Army Major Nadal Malik Hassan, and the attempted bombing of a Detroit-bound airliner by a Nigerian man on Christmas Day. Although President Bush was assailed by civil liberties advocates for designating suspected terrorists, including U.S. citizens, as enemy combatants, imprisoning them without charge, trial, or access to attorneys, there is no evidence that Mr. Bush ever ordered the assassination of an American citizen. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Emily Berman, counsel with the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University, who challenges the right of President Obama to order the assassination of a U.S. citizen without formally charging them with crimes and following minimum standards of due process.
This announcement comes as part of the larger program that you and your listeners may have heard about, the drone predator attacks that have been ongoing, especially in Afghanistan and the Afghanistan-Pakistan border regions. And it's a targeted killing program aimed at taking out members of Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and associated forces fighting against the U.S. in Afghanistan largely. And as you said, this was a somewhat startling pronouncement that, in fact, U.S. citizens could be put on the list to be targeted by this program, and that al-Awlaki was, in fact, one of them. Really, the legal issues involved are relatively complicated and involve international humanitarian law, the law of armed conflict, human rights law, and, of course, domestic constitutional law are all implicated. And any targeted killing like this would have to follow any of those rules that happen to apply. But the most alarming element of this program is how little we really know about it. Unlike most military efforts, these drone programs lend themselves to secrecy. They're essentially invisible to everyone except their victims, human rights monitors, journalists, unable to verify claims about how narrowly they're targeted, what the civilian casualties might be. And so these are all concerns that are raised quite starkly by this latest revelation.
During the presidency of George W. Bush, there was a lot of outrage among civil liberties groups about Mr. Bush's imprisonment of Jose Padilla, who allegedly was planning to carry out a dirty bombing of the United States. He was in prison without charge, trial, or access to attorney for a time. Although President Bush had been accused of abuse of power during his 8 years in office, he never, I guess, according to the record, at least the overt record, had authorized the assassination of a U.S. citizen. But here we have President Obama doing just that, and it seems like it exceeds what many people believe to be the overreach of George Bush in terms of his use of executive power during his presidency.
Yeah, it is. It is quite interesting. As you said, George Bush, of course, did assert the authority to detain U.S. citizens as part of his war on terror, but never, as far as we know, claimed the power to target one for killing. And it's been, you know, quite widely reported that Obama has stepped up the use of these drone attacks significantly over the use that the Bush administration had put them to. It's part of his surge in Afghanistan and efforts in that area. But it does raise some very thorny legal questions. And the one what's particularly troubling in the case of Iwaki is if you say, of course, anyone who takes up arms on the battlefield against U.S. soldiers and points guns at them and throws bombs at them, that person then becomes a legitimate military target. But if you are talking about someone who is living in Yemen, which is far from any active battlefield in the war in Afghanistan, and certainly not imminently threatening U.S. soldiers in the way that someone on a battlefield with a gun would be, then using the justification that we're at war with Al-Qaeda and this man is associated with Al-Qaeda in some way, it really seems to open up the whole globe to these sorts of targeted attacks, and it really raises the question of what limits are there? Could someone in, you know, any country around the world be targeted? Could someone be targeted in America, for example? It's, of course, an extreme case. But the fact that they're asserting the power to do this in a country, a sovereign nation with which we're not at war, against someone who's an American citizen who is not on a battlefield fighting U.S. troops, it really makes you wonder what, if any, limits there are to this power.
Emily Berman, what power does Congress have to turn this around, specifically Obama's declaration that he has the right to assassinate U.S. citizens without going through any formal process? What can Congress do, and what can citizens do who are appalled at this, just as they were appalled at many of the abuses of power under George W. Bush?
Well, Congress has the power to craft, along with the president, policies for how this country is going to use its military and to counter terrorism. It can't necessarily, and the president is the commander-in-chief, so Congress can't necessarily second-guess particular battlefield decisions, but it can certainly place constraints on the use of drones. It can decide whether or not it's going to fund this drone program. They're now making more and faster and stronger and smaller drones. You know, through the defense budget, it certainly has a lot of power over what programs go forward and what don't, and they can place constraints on how the president can use those materials. And, you know, as far as citizens, as with any other issue, members of Congress want to be reelected, and if they find that there's not the support for what they're doing and there's popular support out there for a change of course, that's the thing that always can make the difference. So people should get in touch with their representatives and let them know what they think.
That was Emily Berman, counsel with the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University. Contact the center by calling area code 212-998-6730 or visit their website at brenncenter.org.